Blog Talk Radio.
The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. The third. No parachutes yet.
What they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! Oh, I just went to the windshield of a parked car! It's terrible, they're running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore.
Children are searching for their mothers, and, oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The cloud...
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. Just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but... some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. It's pretty strange after that.
Strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
And as God is my witness, welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio. And because it is the holiday season, my other two co-hosts decided they needed to have the night off to do who knows what, probably nothing exciting or fun. I'm sure Craig's freaking shopping somewhere and running over old ladies trying to get a free 5-inch TV or something. But since they are not here today, we are joined by the returning Sherry Brown. Sherry, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. It feels good to be back. I sorry it took so long to actually get back on the show.
Yes, I think you're tentatively going to be on about maybe three, but for some reason Friday night is not a good night for you.
Friday night is a performance night most of the time. So it's really difficult, but, you know, I'm here because it's the holidays. I have no shows, so I'm able to do this.
Cool. So this will be cool because I didn't really want to take 2 weeks off because we're probably having to take next week off because I will be out of town on Friday night, which happens
to
be my my 43rd birthday, and I'm going to have a good time. I'll talk a little bit about that later, just to drive you crazy.
You're gonna have a great time, but you decided not to come to New Orleans.
Well, that was my original plan, was to go to New Orleans, but my car screwing up and having to buy a new one kind of killed that. Because I was actually planning to go 3 days to New Orleans, go to the Saints game, and the hotel was going to be kind of a bid, and then everything kind of killed it. And this is just it's not costing me that much at all. I mean, I'm staying at a friend's house. I'm only in for one night, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you'll have fun.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I'll be hanging out. I don't know if you watched NXT last night, but I will be hanging out with one old Blue Pants the star of NXT, and hopefully she will be back on NXT soon.
Yes, yes.
But it's been a big week since we were last on, because we had a pretty big pay-per-view. I would usually consider this one to be like the number four. I don't know if it draws like it's the number four pay-per-view of the year, but it's one of the oldest ones. I mean, it's really,
yeah,
like, I think,
I mean,
it's the second oldest one.
It is the second oldest next to WrestleMania, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then of course, the internet had like a nuclear explosion, and there was a certain interview came up the other day that like killed so many websites and so many things, because everybody was trying to listen to this thing. And basically it's all anyone's been talking about for the last 2 days. And
yeah,
there's a lot to talk about this, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, and if you don't know, I can't believe you don't know, is for the first time since he left WWE. Well, he's been on the Talking Dead a few times after The Walking Dead, but he doesn't talk wrestling. He just talks about the show, and but CM Punk.
Yeah, I think this is the first time he's discussed. This is the first time he's discussed anything having to do with the WWE and his situation.
Yeah, and so he went on his buddy's one of his oldest friends, Colt Cabana, who has his I think it's called the Art of War podcast.
Art of Wrestling.
That's right, Art of Wrestling. And I had the W right. I knew it was a W. Colt Cabana, I've always enjoyed his work. He's one of the best comedy wrestlers in pro wrestling. And he can be real serious, at times, too. I mean, he's really great in the ring. He's a really funny dude. I don't think he's the greatest podcast host in the world. The few that I've listened to, it's like I just think he could get so much more out of his guests than he does, instead of just his little chatter that he likes to plug himself in other things. I just don't think he's that great even. But he is one of the longest running ones and probably one of the more popular ones, because he does get good guests. But anyway, he had CM Punk because they are buddies. And basically it was almost like Cabana wasn't even there, because it was just CM Punk. He pretty much, it was about 2 hours, but he pretty much had those 2 hours totally planned on what he was saying. I'm not saying he scripted and was reading off of stuff, but I'm pretty sure he planned to talk about every single little thing he did. And this interview was, people like shoot interviews, which a lot of people do. This is something to listen to, because you're going to hear somebody just totally dog the WWE in a way that I haven't heard since superstar Billy Graham lied on the Phil Donahue show saying that he watched Pat Patterson molest some kid. So it's stuff like that bad, and it's pretty crazy, and it makes the WWE look horrible, you know. So I'll let you talk about it. You I don't know when you heard about it, but I know you didn't listen to it actually till today. And
I had heard about it a few days ago, and when it happened, and everybody's like, you have to listen to this, and I put it off for a while. Not because I don't like CM Punk, but it was one of those things I wanted to kind of let things settle. I didn't know if maybe he was going to do a following interview like soon, so I kind of wanted to get the whole gist. And then I listened to it today at work, because, you know, my job is great, and I can listen to CM Punk podcast while I'm working. And so I listened to it, and I still have a very love-hate relationship with CM Punk. He brought up a lot of good points, and his personal view on things, because everyone is different. But a lot of things, he contradicted himself a little bit in certain points. But he also, clearly just been bitter about this for a while, and has been wanting this to come off his chest. I'm actually more interested to hear what his wife would say about all of this, but
I don't see any tweets anytime soon.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wrote a lot of bullet, like, while I was listening to it, I literally wrote a lot of bullet points of, like, stuff that he was doing. Like, I understand that his health was a big issue. I understand they were putting him through the ringer, and Vince was dogging him very hard when it came to being the man that, you know, would come in and get beat up and then still have to go to work the next day. And, you know, injuries suck, and it does suck that the WWE hasn't put as much as they could into, you know, unions and benefits for, you know, their wrestlers who do get severely injured. But I also do believe that he, you know, he talked about, you know, the WWE's like it's a business, you know, and I don't like it being, I don't like the business. And the business isn't for everybody, but I don't see how you can expect to get paid. You know, he's like, I made millions, but I should have made 10. You know, and it's one of those things of like, if it's not a business, you won't be making $10 million, you know, or millions of dollars putting your body on the line. And working all the time and traveling.
Yeah,
like, you won't make that if it's not a business, because if it's not a business, it's not going to make money, you know?
Yeah, he'd be working for $50 in IWA Mid-South for eating rotten
right.
or something.
And the thing is he also mentioned beforehand that he was like, oh, I liked it back in the day when, you know, we would fight for no money and, you know, we'd all just, you know, be... But then he turns around and says that he should be making way more than he was making. And it's like, pick one.
Yeah. Before we start breaking it down to everything he said, because he did have a lot of different things to say, I want to just give out my opinion on CM Punk. Anyone who's listened to the show knows that I'm not the biggest CM Punk fan. I'm a fan of his work. I enjoy his matches. I enjoy his promos. It's more I'm not a fan of him the person, or a fan of him the person, because he just comes off to me as someone who's just moody, rude, bitter, just, you know, and this is before this, you know, I've never, you know, things I've heard about the guy, I'm not the biggest fan of him as a person. And when he left, honestly, I was like, I could have gave a fuck, because, you know, to me, it you know, Brian, I like Brian a lot more, and I knew this was good for Brian, that it would set up things for Brian as him leaving. And it was just kind of one of those things like, yeah, whatever, you know, you want to go. I'm not, you know, going to, you know, I just, the way I took it is just like I could have cared less. I'm not, like I said, I didn't like him as a person as much, you know. And then it would drive me crazy when all these fans keep chanting his name, and like at first they kind of made him a martyr and stuff. And it just, I just don't like the dude. I really don't like the dude. Now, listening to this interview, there's a lot of shit that he said that, yeah, definitely, the WWE looks bad. And if the shit's true, they deserve to look bad and they should fix shit up and a lot of stuff like that. But I can't say that this interview won me over. Like, a few people were kind of saying that, oh, I didn't like him too much, this, that, but yeah, I like him now or whatever. You know, this wasn't enough to win me over, because he still comes off very bitter, very moody, and, you know, we're going to talk about different things that the WWE screwed him over or Hunter screwed him over, but he also admits that he was an asshole, and he apologized for kind of like being such an asshole to everyone, to where I can kind of see, you know, him being an asshole to Triple H, and Triple H would be like, well, fuck you. You know what I mean? There's two sides to the story. We've heard his side, and this side is going to be totally slanted for his side. And I'm not justifying the WWE. I'm just telling you that's just how it is. We haven't heard the WWE side. We haven't heard, you know, other people who were there that witnessed how he was or how they were to him. So we're just getting one side. And, you know, and in some ways, it's good that he did it, because maybe it'll help that WWE take care of their people a little more as far as physical and doctor-wise and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this whole interview. I just, like, in some ways, you know, it's you think so bad about WWE, and in other parts it's like, dude, fuck you. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, it didn't win me over, and I still don't like the dude as a person after hearing it, even though he is sympathetic in a lot of areas.
You know, it didn't win me over, for sure. But, you know, he made some good points, you know, of the whole, you know, the WWE definitely needs to, you know, take care of their talent a little more. Clearly that's something that they, you know, have neglected, you know, just, you know, and even just from his one-sided stories of, you know, him constantly being, you know, battered and having to go through surgeries and such, and then them calling him right back in to fight, you know. So I agree on that standpoint, and, like, hopefully that will turn some light to that subject. But, and also the fact of him saying, you know, people that come in for these big events, like, you know, Taker and Brock and stuff like that come in and fight one match, and then they get to leave, and they don't have to go and do a battle the next day or the day after and travel and do this and that and work a normal, you know, Raw and SmackDown and so on and so forth. You know, they show up just for the big events, and then they just get to go home or do whatever, fuck off or whatever they do, you know? And
yeah, like
I don't agree with that. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, like, one of the things that I don't like about him is because he's been so vocal over the last couple of years about, like, The Rock coming in for those two WrestleManias. His thing is, he says it's not The Rock that sells WrestleMania; WrestleMania sells itself, and that's true. But The Rock is one person who can add to it, and he did add to it, and he made a lot of money. Well, he's probably, I think he'll tell you he didn't make a lot of money, and that's one of the things he's upset about, like his Mania paychecks weren't as much. But still, I mean, everyone makes money on WrestleMania, and, you know, it's you can't fucking hate on the fucking Rock for coming in and doing everyone in the company, from not just the wrestlers, but everybody who works in production, everybody made some money that weekend, and the Rock was a big part of it. And you can't, you know, it drives me crazy. It's like you're so fucking, it's so ignorant to think that you're more important than The Rock because you're there every week. The Rock's not there every week. That's why he's important. That's why he'll draw, because he's not there. And that just, it pisses me off when he talks about that. And, you know, he had a contract negotiation come up. I mean, he could have asked for more things. He could have got, like, a Brock Lesnar deal if he wanted to. You know, I mean, you can't blame Brock for getting the best deal possible. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
he won't say anything
thing.
About Brock, but mm-hmm. he'll talk about the contract or the situation. Or it was so funny. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, he wouldn't say anything bad about Brock personally, but he didn't like anything that Brock got or anything that came in Brock's deal, like the advertisements on the shorts or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there was quite a lot of things that, you know, and I mean, you know, it's done and over with now, to the point of, like, they settled, you know, and he can't discuss what they settled for. But it's one of those things of, it comes back to the money, which, you know, is so ridiculous, because he came out and said, like, at the beginning of the interview, he's like, money isn't everything, ladies and gentlemen. And then turns around and is like, I should have been paid more. I was making millions, but I should have been paid more. And it's like, yeah, you put your body on the line, and it really sucks. But you do sign this magical thing called a contract that you and your lawyers do read over. So how is it that you then turn around and get all huffy when you're the one? You could have said no. You could have been like, I want more. You know, and then after, you know, Vince turning around and being like, well, we need you, does need to put you on this because it's not sold out and you'll sell it out. Why not then and there go, well, then I want more money if I'm going to be a sellout attraction? You know, and it's business. And he doesn't like business. And he doesn't like the WWE being a business. But the thing is like, if it wasn't a business, you wouldn't be getting paid. It's got to be run like a business in order to function like a business.
Yeah, like one of the things he said is, I'm going to get the numbers mixed up, but he'll say something, yeah, I made $1 million but they made $10 million, and I should have made $10 million. Well, if you would have made the $10 that you brought into the company, there's no company. There's no company to promote you. There's no company to have shows for people to go see you. There's no company for you to, for that $10 million to be made off of you, you know, for you to, for them to get their cut or you to get your cut. That's just a business. That's how it works for everybody. You know, as much money as you think you've made for the company, think how much more money John Cena's made for that company. I don't hear him crying about it. You know, how much money people who make less than him do. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? That's just how businesses work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't get to keep every penny that you bring in. They have to. The business has to survive. The business has to have a profit that keeps it going and keeps the whole thing from Vince McMahon to the freaking janitor, you know, or whatever. So it's like that to me, I didn't really like that.
I do agree with, you know, again, this is one sided, so who knows if it's true or not, but I'm sure there is some truth. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. But the fact that, you know, people are fearful to go up and dispute or talk with Vince or anybody in the corporation in order to deal with matters or ask questions because they feel that they are going to get punished and either left off of a pay-per-view or, you know, not put on a show or taken off a Raw or SmackDown or something like that. I feel like that, you know, if that is an issue, that's something that should be an open door. You should be able to discuss with your boss and your bosses about ideas and things like that. So, I mean, if he was having trouble and he said that people are not able to or just won't because they fear that they're going to get punished for even, like, bringing up or questioning, Cena do it. And Cena's doing just fine in the company right now. So I would be very interested to see if maybe it was just, you know, a refusal to him and he took it as he's doing it to everyone, or if it was just, you know, something that he decided to speak on everyone's behalf and it's not an issue for people to talk to Vince or talk to people about, you know, ideas and oh, I don't want to do this, or oh, can we not do this and can I do this and not get punished for it.
Well, this is what hurts the WWE is they have a reputation on just stupid, petty shit like that. You know, I don't think Drew McIntyre ever won a match after Tiffany got arrested and did what she did after she was let go. John Morrison suffered for a long time after Melina left. They do petty stuff, and I can see why performers aren't afraid to speak up. But at the same, like he also, but he says that he spoke up. But how many times did he talk about Vince? Oh, I'll owe you one, so he'll do it. Or oh, I did this just because I had to show him. You could say no, and you did say no, but you didn't say no to all the bad shit. You know what I mean? I mean, all these things that were like killing you, you didn't say no to. You did like a lot of them, you know. And so he was kind of contradictory on that.
I mean, that's all I have to say on the matter. I mean, I'm really interested to see the next podcast, hear when he answers the emails that are being sent. I will be interested in listening to that one as well. But that's all I have to say on the matter of CM Punk is that, you know, he's bitter. It's done and over with. He brought up some really good points. I'm not going to say that the entire podcast was just a whiny bitch fest. He brought up some really good points when it comes to, you know, just helping the actual performers and the actual, you know, athletes that go out there and entertain the masses. But it was also slightly, you know, those good points were then, you know, affected and slightly dimmed for me when he would turn around and just whine about making millions, but that was not enough. You know, I think you should get paid, you know, for putting your body on the line and for working so hard and this and that, but, you know, who's to say to put a price on that, you know? Some people would say, some people would go, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you see the people, underground circuits and stuff like that, do it for, you know, $50 or less, you know, and don't even aspire to try to be in the WWE. Like, they just love to do it. They just love to wrestle and to be out there. And they pay for their own gas and they drive overnight to all these places. And, you know, they lodge up with a bunch of other people. Like, it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. I would like to hear somebody's opinion that is an actual, like, is a wrestler and, you know, ends up doing these little shows for, you know, very little money, and hear their opinion on CM Punk whining and complaining that he was getting paid millions of dollars to do what they do. And he thought he should get more. I would really like to hear that opinion from these people. But that's all I have to say about it, is good points, but then they were slightly ruined by the fact that he was also complaining.
Yeah, I guess there's not too much really to talk about. Like I just say, if you listen to it and you totally turn on WWE, just remember that it is skewered, it is point of view. Not that it's, you know, the WWE comes out good in any way. I mean, they really came off really bad on a lot of the things. And especially, like, the it sounds like the one doctor that they have on the road with them is a fucking idiot. So that's one of the things
I got to say. Oh, my goodness, I know, right?
Side with Punk, where he had a staph infection for a month, and the guy just kept throwing it off like it was nothing, and then he didn't want to cut it off.
If there's any doctors out there that want a job, you should probably put your resume, that are good at what they do, just put your resume in now.
Yeah. So we're actually getting a call here. I'm going to go ahead and take the call here, see what they have to say. Caller calling from area code 708. Who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's Pro Bro.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Greg? What's happening?
Not a whole lot. I hope you, both of you guys had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did.
I'm also glad to see that I guess you survived your little mini Vegas trip you took with some of the goofballs from the website.
Oh yeah, me, Charlie, Jaw Horseman, Dale, and Sandman were over there having some fun. We have the Bourbon Room.
Yeah, that's cool. I was following the post, and I was very jealous and pissed off that I wasn't there.
Hey, only about seven more months, we'll all be there.
We'll all be there, yes.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Punk. From what I hear, all three of us are probably in agreement. I believe every word he said, pretty much. I think he exaggerated on some stuff. For instance, I mean, I don't think Ryback completely cowered in front of him. He might have, you know, yelled at him after that botched spot, but I'm pretty sure Ryback, you know, held his own, or at least just gave him the old, okay, whatever. That is, oh yeah, I'm a dumb fuck, or whatever he said.
Yeah, he probably just said it sarcastically or something.
I thought. And the Triple H Vince stuff, that too, I believe Punk said everything he said. Same time, I'm pretty sure that Triple H and Vince weren't quiet on a lot of stuff. Like, you know, Punk made it sound like that crack about, you know, Triple H not taking the steroid test or the Owen Hart crack. I'm pretty sure they came back at him with something. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The only other thing I disagreed on was, I think you guys touched it, the Rock and Brock thing. I mean, they do deserve some special treatment. I mean, you know, I don't know when you hate to say people are bigger than the business, but those two guys are. They put in the effort. They, you know, they're part-timers for a reason. They can afford to, you know, take some time off, maybe do some other things. They were good enough in WWE that, you know, they were able to branch out, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest things that I hold against him, is just his, like, resenting people who are actually, he's okay, if you want those $10 million, I mean, these people are helping you make money. Why resent them just because you're there every day? You know, they were there every day for like a long time when they were in their prime, and they've made that point where they can do that. Maybe if you would have not quit, he could have stayed, got to the point where he was that big, and then he could take us some time off, go do some movies, and then he could make some appearances and get paid like that and not have to work full-time and make his money. But he comes off as a very, very selfish person to me.
That's true.
And,
I got it. In his defense, though, it is a different business now. I mean, no one's getting that Brock Lesnar or Rock push. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see anyone be even as big as Cena. I mean, no one gets protected. Everything is, even Steven booking now. That's where I see his frustration. Because maybe, in 2011, when he was on top of the world, 3 months later, he got dropped to Triple H, and he was back to, being just a normal guy. He feuded with Jericho. They exchanged wins. Nothing really matters, pretty much. So that's where I see his frustration.
I agree with that, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a different, scenario now in the WWE. I feel like Cena was the last person to be pumped up right before everyone's now. Like, everyone's on the chopping block regardless. Like, you could be hot 1 week, and then you just won't be hurt from again for a little while, if not forever. It's definitely,
I don't know if it's Vince or Triple H or Stephanie, but it's just like, for lack of a better word, like bipolar booking. Like, they'll get hot on someone, and then, a week later, it's like, we don't want to get too hot. We don't want another Rock who will leave us, or, another Brock Lesnar who wants these outrageous demands that we have to meet. So I think that's where they're thinking. It's hard to pick sides because, like you guys said, I'm not really a big Punk fan either. He does come off like a massive tool, but, and so does, Vince and Triple H. It's just bad ingredients,
it's one of those things where, like, in some ways everybody's wrong and a douchebag involved. You know what I mean? I can't defend Vince and Triple H. They've done some bad shit. Some fucked up shit. It's one of those, this is like, to me, I just take it, I hear both sides, I hear both complaints, and I'm not going to pick a side because I know there's really no winner. There's no one who's right. They're both right in some aspects. They're both wrong in some aspects. So it's kind of one of those things. And as far as booking and making people, we're going to, when we get to our Survivor Series review, we're going to get to them where they try to make like this one guy the biggest superstar in the company for 3 weeks and then job them out in the first fucking couple minutes of the match. You know what I mean? So,
It's hard to get behind anyone. I mean, I'm currently, still into Ambrose. I don't think they've, completely killed him yet, but it's just hard to get into it. Everything just feels like nothing matters. Maybe closer to, Rumble and WrestleMania time, it'll get better like it always. But
they're definitely grasping at straws right now.
Exactly.
It's almost like, they're like, oh, let's try this week. Oh, that didn't work. Let's do this. Or that kind of works, so let's mix it up and see what else works. I feel like they're just kind of, they're definitely grasping at straws at this point because they don't have a lot of, they don't want to make anybody a big superstar because then, they'll have demands or they'll have new, contracts or they'll leave or they'll go find something, But they deserve a little slack
because they're in a position where their number two guy has been out with injury for a while. The guy they plan to make the number two guy, he's out with an injury right now. Punk quitting. You have Randy doing a movie right now. Sheamus just had surgery or whatever, so now he's even out. So it's like they're super thin. So
this is what I like to call a transitional period. They're in a transitional period. So it'll even out. But right now they're in a transitional period.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, if they would have built Ziggler, I mean, he could have fit right in and he could have been, the number two guy in a pinch, but...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, I like I love the guy, but, I mean, I'm not buying any, you know, sustained push for him at this point. It was nice to see him, you know, win the Survivor Series, but, I mean, I'm not expecting anything from that.
Yeah. But we're probably going to go ahead.
I'll let you guys go. That's pretty much all I had to say. You guys were on the dot. So, you know, if I don't call in any other shows, you guys have a happy holiday.
Aw, happy holidays.
All right. See you in Vegas.
All right.
Yeah, see you in Vegas. Have a good one. Okay. Well, with that, we can go ahead and
on to the next topic.
On to the next topic, which would be
Survivor Series?
The way I watched it, I actually had to go to work, and I was watching it at times and not at times because whenever it would get busy, I couldn't watch it. But, I had my phone with me, so I was watching it at parts. So I had to go back and watch other things later on. But I did watch the entire main event, and I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a good show. It wasn't nothing like super blow away or anything, but they did enough different things and little swerves that, you know, kept me entertained, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. There were some really really good parts that were interesting. Like some people really showed, like, shined. But there was also a little bit of it was just kind of like they almost did this as a throwaway, as if they're using this to, you know, well, of course, they used their matches to build to the next pay-per-view, but it was, even the kickoff was such a throwaway. If you have the WWE Network, only for $9.99, you get the kickoff pre-show, and during the pre-show, they usually have a few matches, and they have a lot of good commentary and insight, usually from Renee and Booker T and Paul Heyman and such. And it's really nice to get their, you know, perspectives on things. But pre-show, you know, like the pre-show where they had the WLC match that you so much enjoyed. This one, you know, it was Justin Gabriel versus Fandango, who's back.
The new and improved Fandango, I might
add. Justin Gabriel was sloppy. It was really, you know, it wasn't an interesting match except for the fact that I was impressed with Fandango's actual skills in the ring. He was a lot more serious. Like, it was a lot less flash when it came to him showboating and such. It was a lot less that and a lot more aggression, as if he's now decided to take it seriously. So it was nice to see that. It definitely made me, you know, pay attention, but the match wasn't anything remarkable. Bad News Barrett showed up and announced his return, and that's pretty much all he did. He just announced his return and then left. So that was like, okay, all right, well then. And then Cesaro against Jack Swagger.
A couple weeks ago was too beat up and too hurt to be on the shows, so he wasn't able to be in the Survivor Series main event after he was the first person to agree to be on it, but then got killed.
He was too hurt
to be on the team, but yet he was still on the pay-per-view.
Yes, yeah, but yet somehow he managed to muscle through and do the pre-show. And that was the pre-show. It wasn't anything fascinating. Anything that exciting. And then into the Survivor Series, the first match out of the bag was the tag team title match. I don't know if you saw that one with Usos. Matadors, Stardust and Goldust, and then Miz and Mizdow. That my thoughts on that was I really enjoyed watching Stardust and Goldust. I'm really happy to see personalities, and it's nice to see Goldust. I feel like he's even being more serious than what he was back in the day. I feel like being able to step aside from being, you know, crazy and glitz and glam, and he's able to take a more aggressive role into the matter. I will never get tired of watching Damian Sandow throw himself around when the Miz is in the ring. I just won't get tired of that. That's just hilarious to me. It might get old maybe someday for me. I'm hoping that maybe they'll stop doing it before I get tired of it. But right now it's still entertaining.
It's one of those things where it's like it's so stupid and so absurd and should not get over in any freaking way. And then it's like a big thing for like a long time, like Mr. Socko, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, oh, come on. How can you not like Mr. Socko?
But it's so weird that it's over as it is, because right now, except for the main eventers, he's like the most over guy on the show by far.
And I mean, you can clearly see that they're building him for that, because he's either going to break away on his own because he's drawn his own crowd, or The Miz is going to get so pissed off that he has a bigger crowd than The Miz that, you know, he's going to get rid of him, you know, or attack, you know, do something to him. So, I mean, it's one of those things of like, you can see where this is going. It's clearly obvious, especially when they both, you know, try to, you know, rev the crowd up and the crowd cheers louder for Damian. I mean, it's really, you know, it's easy to see what's going to happen. It's just, I'm wondering how long it's going to take. So until then, I will happily enjoy watching him flop about outside of the ring.
It was a good match as far as like the match and everything. I mean, the Usos are always good. Goldust and Stardust are always good. The Matadores, you know, they're not getting a push or anything, but they're good. You know, they're not getting a good push,
and they were in the ring the most of that match. They were the ones getting beaten up the most in that match. I do have to say this, because this was the start of a very long list of who's actually legal in the ring for the entire night. Like, this set the tone for the entire night. The refs, like, I have no clue what they were doing. They did say that disqualifications were going to happen, like if you get disqualified and this and that. But it seemed to me like how they pick and choose their disqualifications, or who was legal or who was not. Most of the matches, when it came to tag matches or elimination matches or the Team Authority versus Team Cena matches, there were a lot of points throughout those matches where I was just sitting there going, all right, so who's legal in the ring? Because everyone's in the ring and the ref is doing nothing about it. And then I'm like, all right, so who's legal still? Because everyone's out of the ring and the ref is doing nothing about it. And then, like, you know, three people from another team would come into the ring and attack one guy, and the ref's just like, hey, yeah, you guys kind of get back to your corner, maybe. I don't know. Hit him a couple more times, then get back to your corner. You know, it was really confusing at some point. It's like, if you're going to have that, just make it a free-for-all. Like, just be like, all right, everyone in the ring, have a go. Call it a day. You know, but there was a lot of points where I was like, wait, who's legal? And I even heard, you know, I mean, even JBL and you know, the announcers, they were like, wait, who's legal? Like, I heard them say that a few times, like, okay, so who's legal? who's the legal man in the ring? But I just had to get that off my chest, because I wanted to know if anybody else was as confused as I was, as confused as the announcers were, as to who, you know, if it was that confusing. Or it's frustrating to see that amount of people in the ring and nothing being done about it.
I'm sure it's going to go both ways, because honestly, like, that's stuff like that, and not just for the show or these matches, that's never been a problem for me. I always remember who's the legal man, just because, I don't know, it just stays with me on who's the legal man. Even though when there's a big smosh and everything, I still remember who's the legal man. And so if they don't get back in the ring, then I'll be like, what the fuck? But usually it's, a lot of times they always end up being, the guy usually ends up going back to it. So that's never really been a problem for me, but I do hear people who do like lose track. So,
yeah.
But like I say, it was a good match, and I'm happy Mizdow and and Ms. Wan, and they're booking it. They're actually booking this very well. I mean, the way they just keep teasing Ms. Dow and wanting everyone wanting him, and finally, every time they think they're going to get it, they kind of take it away, and then but he still was able to get the win on this one. And I think Ms. Everyone's loving Ms. Dow and giving Ms. Dow a lot of credit. I think the Miz deserves a lot of credit himself, because, like, the one time when Ms. Dow won that one match and Miz is doing commentary and his freaking celebration was, like, one of the greatest things I ever seen, because he was so – couldn't believe it. And then he's like, I won, I won. And,
right.
You know, just him being so obnoxious, and he's got to have the one with both real belts. And, you know, it really makes it, you know, people want to cheer Miz down more when he's got the little toy belts. And Miz, they're actually, it's a perfect act, and I hope they take their time on that, on breaking them up, because I think they could get a lot out of it. And it is one of the hottest, as far as undercard stuff, it is probably the hottest thing. Maybe Rusev in some things, but, you know, this is just, people are reacting to it big time. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, it was decent.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, you know, even with, you know, confusions and stuff. Like, I still really enjoy, you know, I don't care. Let three or four wrestlers from each team go in and fight each other. That's more entertainment for me, is when there's more people in the ring than just two. The second match was the Divas Elimination match, where it was Paige, Summer Rae, Layla, Cameron, versus Natalya, Naomi, Emma, and Alicia Fox. And I was very entertained with this one. It was great to see a group knock Paige down a peg. And I do adore Paige. She's fun and quirky and crazy and, you know, just that, you know, enough edge to, you know, take the Divas into a different light. But I feel like the Divas now they all have great personalities. They're all, you know, they all have way different styles in the ring. And it was a treat to see the amount of them that were in the ring at the same time, you know, going against each other. You know, Naomi really, you know, shined, just, you know, from her, you know, physical, like, her maneuvers, you know, and just her tactics, like, you know, she's amazing, you know, to watch.
Can't stand her outfit, though.
Watch it. I'm going to ignore your comments. No, I'm just kidding. Her outfit is great. I do enjoy her outfit. It's adorable. You know, and then Emma, you know, Emma's fun. Emma, you know, was worked over hard in the ring and still came back. Really enjoyed this match. I really enjoy how technical and how aggressive the Divas are getting. You know, it's not just hair pulling and eye gouging and, you know, cat scratches at this point. You know, they're fighting. You know, and I don't think they're going to stop. I don't think it's ever going to recede back to, oh, they're just girl wrestlers. They're just, you know, Divas. You know, no, they're wrestlers. They're, you know, they're putting themselves on the line just as much as, you know, the men. And I'm really enjoying seeing this evolution of, you know, giving them more matches. Making it so that there's, you know, a bigger light, not an equal light, but a bigger light on the Diva matches, you know, as, you know, much as the other, you know, other matches. I'm really happy, and they fought hard. I'm excited to see another match again with this group. They all worked really well together, team wise. And I think they should do it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought the match, to me, started off on a great, great note when Michael Cole had to screw up the bike roll line. And that was awesome. That made me laugh so fucking hard. I just don't like Naomi's those socks or leggings or whatever, and then with just tennis shoes and not even any kick pads or anything over them. I just don't like that look.
Hold on. So
Summer Rae, you're
discussing fashion.
Summer Rae look here. Yeah. Well, they're women. I'm a guy, so part of the object is to impress me visually. And Summer Rae, her outfit.
No, hold on. Hold up. Wait a fucking second. They're not there. Yes, they wear revealing clothes, and yes, they have sex appeal because they're women. But the thing is, the men have equal sex appeal, and you do not hear me commenting on how tight somebody's shorts were or the fact that, you know, like, Fandango wore a shirt. How dare he wear a shirt? Yeah, it was an open shirt, but how dare him wear a shirt? You know, he should be more revealed to me so I can see his, I don't know, man boobs, pecs, whatever. But it's talk about the fight, not about the clothes, please.
I talk about everything. And as if a guy's
really?
Wearing
well,
a crazy outfit.
Can we go back to the tattoo
you,
mesh?
You should,
and tell
you
me
should
what
hear
you...
us bury Shawn Michaels' brown pants. Trust me. You're not on the show every week. I talk about everything. If someone looks like stupid or their outfit's stupid, I will mention it. But going back to, I love Summer Rae's outfit. I thought Layla looked great. I love Natty in the shorts because she's has such impressive legs. I mean, she's like a thoroughbred as far as how powerful she looks as far as her legs. So it really shows that off. I'm glad you get to see more of her looking more powerful. Alicia looked great. As far as the match was good. I enjoy the match. Paige is awesome. I think she's one of the best. I think she is the best. Well, I guess Natty would probably be overall the best worker, but Paige is so awesome. I really wish they would bring in her mom and let them work a program. They'd be like the greatest women's tag team ever. And I thought Emma's great. I love her gimmick of being the goofy and clumsy, but then she does all these real super complicated moves. I think that's kind of funny. I thought Summer Rae, while she looked good, I thought she was a little out of control at times and could have killed somebody. But the action was good. It wasn't, you know, like you say, it wasn't like the cat fight or them just rolling around. They were having a good match. And everyone got a little shine in there. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I thought it was great. I liked TJ. TJ was awesome because he was tweeting during the match and posting photos of him, selfies, during the match with the girls in the background. That was actually kind of cool if you were following on Twitter or
yeah,
follow Twitter.
Yeah, no, that was
things
funny.
After. But, yeah, it was like a lot of people hate on this match like they hate on most women's matches for the most part, but I enjoyed it. You know, it was pretty good. I mean, you know, and it was, I thought it was good them having like an old fashioned basically. It was competitive, but it was like a squash because it was one whole team eliminating the whole other team. I thought that was kind of cool. And Naomi, while I didn't like her outfit, her new finisher, the head scissors DDT, that looked really good. I think I like Naomi. She has one problem though. She's a little too athletic. And she'll jump higher than she should at times. And, like, she almost jumped over Cameron on that body press. And she needs to kind of, like, learn her strength because that's the one thing that kind of, I think, holds her matches down a little bit is she's just too athletic for where she's too high or too fast than the girls are going. And she needs to kind of adjust to that. And when she gets that down, I think then she has potential to be one of the top workers, if not the best, but she's a little out of control right now. But
I agree on that one. I agree on her being, you know, she's not too athletic to the point of like, you know, oh, she's too good, but it's to the point where, yeah, she can jump very high. She can, you know, her kicks go very high up, and I can see where she could botch a move or completely miss in certain situations when she's supposed to hit. Because she misjudged the height that she was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Well,
are you ready for round three?
Hmm?
Number three was Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose. Your thoughts on their clothing?
I like Bray's clothing because he looks like he should just be, he's like he's at the beach or something.
He does.
And anyone
can't
who's brave enough to wear white pants.
Or he's retired. Yeah.
Yeah, anyone who's brave enough to wear, like, white pants at times is, you know. But Dean, and Dean, I like Dean's look because Dean, just, he doesn't look like your average wrestler. He just looks like a, kind of like a tough guy, kind of out of control, crazy dude like he is. So it fits his gimmick and stuff. And I love Bray Wyatt's hat. He's got, like, the coolest hat. But as far as the match, I thought the match was, like, really, really good. Some people are saying it's better than the main event. I think the main event overall was a little better just because of all the twists and turns that it had. But this was great. I mean, they both look good. Bray's, he can be kind of hit and miss. If he's in there with a guy who he can hit hard and the guy will hit him hard back, he meshes a lot better. And I thought him and this is one of his better matches in actually quite a while. And,
right.
You know, Dean's so great. You know, I think he can have a good match with anybody. I mean, he does all the little tiny things that, like, no, there are things that he does that casual fans wouldn't even have a clue that he's doing. But just these little mannerisms, just the tiniest little movement here or there. I mean, he's one of the most natural. It just, like, comes natural to him that, like, I haven't seen anyone that natural to like that in, like, years and years and years. But it was a good match, and basically, this match was building to the next match, and the inning was kind of awkward because he was killing Bray, and then he sets up the ladder like he's going to, like, finish him off, but then he doesn't do it, and it's basically just telling you that they're going to have a tables, ladders, and chair match. So I thought that was kind of dumb. They didn't have to do all that.
No, yeah, that was a little, like wow, guys, like, talk about foreshadowing, you know. It was extremely foreshadowing, but it was to the point where it was corny. Yeah, corny is definitely the word that comes to mind. I mean, it was great, and he was very manic at the end, throwing everything into the ring and just piling them all on top of Bray, and then he gets the ladder, and he gets up there, and he just stands there. And I was waiting to see a to be continued, like, little logo at the bottom, you know, with a dot, 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 you know, as if it was, like, this whole, like, wink and nod, like, you know what's coming next, tables, ladders, and chairs match. So it was a little, it was a little corny, but I did enjoy the match. I think Dean really has, you know, if the company is able to keep a hold and keep this going and keep him, you know, in the positive light of the fans and whatnot, you know, I think Dean will be the next, you know, he has a lot of mannerisms and a lot of drive into the extreme areas. You know, I think Extreme Rules, Hell in a Cell, tables, ladders, and chairs, I think those are going to be his shining points. Like, he's going to be another Mick Foley or of that ilk. I think if he can continue on this path, you know, he's going to be the one that, you know, I don't care if you make me bleed. I'm still going. I'm going to jump off this ladder. I'm going to climb the cell and start at the top. You know, we're going to, you know, this is going to, Extreme Rules is my home. It's where I feel the most comfortable. And I really think he is playing into his lunatic fringe. And I think he's really enjoying being able to push himself and, you know, push others in that sense. You know, Bray, you were right with the whole he's very hit or miss, but I think Bray and Dean being able to, you know, go against each other, I think that's going to show some very promising matches. I think we're definitely going to have some memorable matches between the two of them that, you know, are going to be played and talked about for years to come. I can't wait to see those matches. It wasn't on Survivor Series, but it was a good match. And now that they've, you know, alluded to the TLC pay-per-view, I really can't wait for that one because that one is going to be pretty exciting.
Hopefully. I've heard plans for some of the matches, and they don't sound all that chirping, but that match will definitely be good. So at least that'll be worth it. It was, like I say, it was a good match. I guess we can go ahead and go on to the next one.
Yeah, the next one is really, I'm just going to touch quickly on my end, and then you can just say what you need to say about it. So number four was Adam Rose with his bunny versus Titus O'Neil and Slater. The fact that the bunny pinned Slater, I loved Adam Rose when he first started. He was kind of like a very crazy Austin Powers rock and roll Led Zeppelin, like, this is my party bus and these are my groupies, you know, the party all the time, you know, personality. And I really thought that could be a good shift in the WWE. And now that he's using the man dressed as a bunny rabbit as his partner for tag teams and stuff, it's already gotten old to me. And the fact that the rabbit was the one who pinned Slater, if I was Slater, I would have rather been pinned by Hornswoggle. I would have been rather pinned by anybody. It was one of those things of like, oh, really? Like, to add insult to injury, he got beat by a man in a bunny outfit. You know,
who might be Sami Zayn.
Who might, yeah. And, God, I love Sami Zayn. I do. I just really wish it would be Sami Zayn and they would just, you know, like Adam Rose with Sami Zayn versus Titus O'Neil and Slater. I would have loved to have seen that. I would have watched that. I'd watch it right now. But, yeah, the bunny outfit. Whew. That's all I got to say. It's your floor. Tell me what you think.
Well, I totally disagree on a lot of what you have to say about that. The Adam Rose character, I did enjoy it, but it's really hard to take him serious the way he would talk and do interviews. Now he's showing an edge when he gets mad at the bunny after or starts yelling at the rosebud. And it's to me, he can be taken a little more seriously when he acts like that. So I think he might actually be better as a heel as far as being just a little natural to him. And as far as the bunny, they're wrestling Heath Slater, who is basically the Funaki of this generation and a guy who accepts his position and does everything he can to make it good. And he does a great job of it. He's like one of the greatest jobbers that I've seen in a very, very long time. I mean, he just gets it. He doesn't care that he's a jobber. He just goes with it. And Titus is all right. He's got potential, and I think they make a decent team. As far as the bunny, it's not bothering me because I know it's either going to be Sami Zayn or it's going to be it'll end up being worth it in the end. And I've seen Chavo Guerrero get beat by Hornswoggle 500,000 times, so it not going to drive me out of my mind that a guy in a bunny suit pins somebody who's. That's basically his job, is to lose to geeks like that and do goofy stuff like that. The match itself, well, nothing special. I didn't think it was too bad. He's a good worker, and it was pretty short for the most part. But to me, they're building to who the bunny is, and as long as they're doing something like that, I can watch it without totally losing my mind or shaking my head and thinking it's too goofy or too dumb. There's going to be a payoff to it. So I'm patiently waiting for the payoff. And if it's Sami Zayn, it'll all be worth it in the end. And they're always going to have some kind of comedy.
I agree with the payoff. I agree with the payoff. It's one of those things of, you know, I just feel like they didn't have to. The waste is not the word I want to use, but I feel like they could have, like, again, they did this, you know, foreshadowing. The Raw, the next day, Monday Night Raw, they had, you know, Adam Rose and the Bunny again with Tyson Kidd. And, you know, they did more development with the Bunny. And I feel like maybe they could have, you know, like the dramatic factor between Adam Rose and the Bunny Rabbit actually came to it like ahead and came to a point on Raw as opposed to at the pay-per-view. I feel like they could have, you know, filled that spot with something else. What, I don't know off the top of my head, but I do feel like, you know, developing it on Raw and on the weekly shows might benefit them more. Because that match didn't drive me crazy. The one on Raw didn't drive me crazy. It was the fact that it was on the pay-per-view, and it was such a short match that it was kind of forgettable. And it was like, oh, huh. Well,
it was also kind of in a death spot because it was after what was going to be the best or second best match of the night. And they always want
right.
to kind of bring the crowd down, so they always have those. So that's another thing, the reason why they kind of did that and threw that in there. And like I said earlier in the Punk discussion, they're not very thick in talent right now. They're pretty thin. So honestly, if you look and try and think, what could they have put in that spot who wasn't on the pay-per-view, basically? I mean, everybody kind of was on the pay-per-view that's available for the most part on the main roster. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they kind of dealt that hand. So you can't totally hold, you know, them making use of what they have. So,
oh, yeah, I'm not pissed off at them. I just thought, I'm not pissed off at them in the least, you know. It was just, you know, it was a head-scratcher to me at some extent. But, you know, it was a match that happened, and it happened. And the way I rate it, it wasn't great. It wasn't the worst match I've ever seen, but it wasn't great.
Mm-hmm. I guess we can go to the next one.
Okay. The next one is, well, first, Roman Reigns, was, like, Skyped in and was talking. And he made a statement that within a month's time he would be back. Do you think he's going to be able to come back in a month's time? Do you really think that he's going to be ready?
Yeah, he should be. I mean, what he had, that's basically the next time that they predict for what he had. So I think he will be. The thing is, I've lost interest in Roman Reigns since he's been gone. Part of that has to do with how they, just because I know they're going to push him and make him the chosen one, when I personally think Ambrose would be a better job. But I don't know, I'm losing interest on Roman Reigns. I'm worried that other people might be losing interest in him. It all depends on how the casuals react. I'm sure he'll get a good pop when he comes back, but I don't know, maybe it's just because I know that to the authority, quote-unquote, would want him to be like the future. You know, it just kind of, to me, that's kind of a put-off in its own way. And I don't know, I mean, maybe if they book him right, maybe I'll get back into him. But right now, I'm kind of cold on him, so I got to wait to see what happens when he comes back.
I'm excited to see him come back. I'm worried for that, too, that people, you know, short attention span. And I mean, the people grasping at straws on who to like and who not to like, or who's fighting who has shifted, because we are going into a new era of power and of feuds. I feel like there's a lot of new feuds brewing, and a lot of things are going to be shifting quite a bit after this pay-per-view. And I'm interested and I'm excited. I'm really glad that he's able to come back. I'm sure that he's going to make a beeline for Seth right away. But I'm hoping that maybe, you know, that feud can be extended on and worked out, because right now it pretty much, to me, feels like between those two could be easily over in just one match, you know, because it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
And now the authority is no, you know, no more. It's one of those things of, all right, I hate you, Seth Rollins, for what you did. I'm going to fight you. Okay, I fought you. And now it's, you know, now, and then it's like, and then what? You know, you fought him, and then what? You know, what are you going to do with the rest of your, you know, who's next? What's going on now? So that's my thoughts. But I'm happy that he's healthy and he's coming back, and, you know, hopefully he'll be able to, you know, keep it going, because, I mean, he is entertaining in the ring. He is a good fighter. You know, he does bring a good show, and I feel like if he's paired against or with the right people, he can definitely be entertaining and be good for the business. The next one is, if you want to even call it a match, the next one is AJ Lee versus Nikki Bella for the Divas Championship. It wasn't even a match. Brie kissed AJ, and that ended up shocking AJ to the point that Nikki was able to get a one-up on her and pin her for the title. Yeah, I was kind of sad. I really like AJ's. I really haven't seen Nikki fight a actual, like, Divas, you know, championship to where she has something on the line she wants to win in quite some time without her sister doing anything. So I was hoping for a match, and then when it didn't happen, it was interesting, and I kind of was like, oh, okay, that's fitting.
Hey, I got disconnected. Did you ever notice I was gone for a couple minutes?
Nope, I've been talking this entire time. Ta-da!
That's what I kind of figured you were going to do.
No, I didn't. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for my rambling. I was talking about the AJ Lee and Nikki Bella match.
Uh-huh. See, now if that would have happened to my other co-hosts, they would have been lost and freaking out and in a panic because they would have noticed right away. they can't carry that themselves like that for like a while. But as far as this match, this was actually supposed to be a match, but after they got through working out all their spots, they were told they only had 20 seconds. And I guess that kind of sucks. You know what I mean? That's usually that happens a lot of diva matches that they unfortunately
right.
So they're in the death spot. So a lot of times, if they need more time for the main event, they go long. They're the ones that get cut. Like the whole match
right.
got cut of WrestleMania a while back. And
this is also, you know, one of the things of like they, you know, the Adam. I'm going back to the Adam Rose match. I'm sorry, but they, you know. They had that over an actual match for the Divas title. Like, you know, and I understand, like, this fits the storyline. This is very fitting, especially, you know, what happened with Daniel Bryan and Costa. You know, like, this happened before, and this is kind of like a little bit of full circle tie-in. And it works, and, like, you know, it's extended the feud. I was just hoping for a few hits. I was hoping for a few hits, but, I mean, it's fitting. It's not the best match. It wasn't even really, it wasn't a match.
To be honest with you, considering they went from having a match of 20 seconds, the way they booked it, they actually saved it because it's hard to do anything in 20 seconds, and they actually told a story and did it. So I got to give them credit for that. I kind of figured this was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen where they were going to end up being back together and being the evil twins. I did hope that this meant that they were going to get rid of Bree's shitty music and just go back to twin magic because it's so much better than what Bree's been using now.
You don't like Bree, you know, mode?
I like Bree mode. I just don't like Bree mode music.
That should be a shirt.
Like
I like Bree mode. Don't like Bree mode music.
And it's funny how Bree mode means two different things on the wrestling show and on Tour Divas. I find that hilarious. But I like the twins. I've always liked the twins. I've always been a big fan of Bree. I think she's gotten so much better in the ring. Nikki's gotten better. I hate her going back to style. I hate her stupid socks. You need to get rid of those. But she looks great otherwise. Bree, her outfit's all right. AJ, she always has that, basically it's the same thing, but I don't know what the hell those shoes are called, but I think those are pretty cool. I'm not the biggest fan of wrestlers wearing Kenny shoes unless they're wearing chin guards. That's like one of the reasons I didn't like Naomi's outfit. But like AJ, those are tennis shoes, but they work because they look like boots. And I like AJ. I think she's an awesome bump taker. I think she can be an awesome character. I'm not sure how much we're going to see of AJ in the near future. You know, they might have to be subtle about it, so it might be a slow build, but AJ's done. AJ's career was killed 2 days ago. And, yeah, I think it's going to be over for her very soon.
No, I don't think it will. They've done it too many times.
It happened to Drew McIntyre. It happened to John Morrison.
True.
It's happened
to many
people. And this
that
is the worst. This is worse than Tiffany. This is worse than Melina. So
yeah,
they can't be blunt about it.
Right. They can't just take it and be like, you know, she was never heard from. She's stricken from the record. Yeah, they can't do that. But
yeah, they're going to slowly beat her for the next few weeks, and then she'll be gone.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she'll still be under contract. They'll do the Rey Mysterio thing and keep her under contract as long as possible. But yeah,
I'm hopeful that they don't. You know, I'm gonna play the naive card. I'm gonna play the butterflies and rainbows card, and I'm going to say I hope they don't, because she's a good fighter in the ring. You know, she has a lot of charisma. You know, she has. I feel like she could offer a lot to the Divas, you know, roster. So I hope they don't, because, you know, she is, in my mind, she's becoming a staple, you know, and I'm really hoping that they, you know, keep her and realize that she is separate. You know, what her partner says and what she says can be two different things. You can still love somebody and disagree with them. So it's one of those things that, like, I'm hoping that they take that in consideration. I have doubts, but I'm going to play the hopeful card and hope that they keep her around, you know, for as long as they can without, you know, doing this because of what, you know, her partner has said.
The part that I worry the most about is that it's going to be for all for nothing, because I know, yes, she got married to CM Punk, and they're married right now, and I'm sure they're happy right now. CM Punk has I don't even know if you know this, but he has a very big reputation. He's like Batista. He's made his way through the Divas.
I don't even know if you know this, as if, like, I keep up with the gossip of, like, who's sleeping with who in the realm of.
Well,
I don't do that.
Listen to the show. Listen to that, but He was even with ODB for a while. And ODB is not the best looking woman in the world, but he has this reputation. He's gone through a lot. He's constantly in different relationships. He was with, what was her name, the Glamazon, Beth Phoenix.
It's funny.
He was with Beth Phoenix when Edge was with Lita. And then they both broke up, and then he was tunkling with Lita, and then Edge went with Beth Phoenix. And wrestling love triangles are so weird. And then, you know, he goes from Lita to AJ, who I remember there was this funny ass little comic strip somebody made where it's a picture that someone drew of when there's video footage of when AJ met Lita as a kid, and she's all crying, getting the autograph. And they have the picture, someone drew the picture of her crying, meeting Lita. And then there's a picture of her on top of CM Punk telling CM Punk to call her Lita. And I worry about it, because, you know, she might lose her. She big possibility her career could be over.
You know what? No,
but
if it is,
and then they break up within a year, or not even a year or 2 years, leaves her with nothing. You know what I mean? So
I'm not.
Hopefully,
you know,
their marriage or whatever will work out. You know, for the most part.
I wish nothing but the best for their marriage. I wish nothing but the best for their marriage. You know, you have to. Work and play should be separate when it comes to that kind of thing. I mean, you know, I wish nothing but the best for their marriage. They clearly love each other, and, you know, I don't think it's going to be all for naught. I do believe, and I'm right now, it's in the WWE's hands. If they get rid of her, that's on them. that has nothing to do with her. She didn't come out and do a podcast and say these things. She didn't come out and do another podcast or a tweet or a blog saying, I support everything my man says. It's one of those things of, it's on them. It's on the WWE if they want to take it personally out on somebody who didn't say a word just because they're married to that person.
Well, they've done it before, and I don't see it being any different because she's a woman and not a guy just because the gender roles are reversed.
I'm hopeful on that standpoint, but yeah,
I'm kind of a realistic, so to me it's not going to be a shocker. I mean, I hope for the best, but it's not going to shock me if it turns the other way just because it's happened too many times and there's too much of a, precedent of them doing it. So, yeah,
right.
I mean, it's a bad situation that is a lot, worse. Like I say, it wasn't just CM Punk. He just didn't affect himself doing that interview. He has a wife that works for the company that he said all those horrible things. And, they put her in a bad situation, but no fault of her own. And hopefully for her, like I say, hopefully it'll work out. But I don't know. It's like I say, I'm a realist, and it just patterns are hard to break. Human behavior is hard to break and change. So, like I say, we'll see. And hopefully I'm wrong. But, I'm not going to be surprised if I'm not.
Well, on to the final match of Survivor Series. Team Authority versus Team Cena. And if Team Authority wins, and if Fire Cena wins, the Authority is no more.
Wait, could you repeat that? Did you say everyone in the Authority was fired?
No, everyone in Team Cena was fired if the Authority wins.
Okay, I misunderstood which team you were referring to. Everybody but Cena, unfortunately.
Everyone but Cena, because, they need him. Team Cena, if they win, the Authority is no more, and Hunter and Steph just have office jobs and cannot affect any of the lives in WWE, and the only person that can bring them back into power would be John Cena. This match was long. It was very long, but amazing. Mark Henry got knocked out right away. Ryback, I think he was on fire when he was in the ring, as little as he was in the ring, but when he was in the ring, he was on fire. Dolph, again, just like Dean Ambrose is taking on this, very extreme, hardcore, vibe. Dolph is I feel like he could be the next if they let people break. Dolph is showing amazing potential, especially sticking with Cena. Just in these last, from WrestleMania until now, if you look at Dolph Ziggler's growth, he's grown so much just from the past WrestleMania until now. He was the real winner in all this. I mean, he was the survivor in Survivor Series, and they're building him up really well. Everybody did so good in this match. It was nice to see Eric Rowan, put on a good show and fight, without his family, and be able to be a solo, fighter. Rusev, when Rusev went through that table, when Dolph moved, that was a wonderful little touch. Because there was no way that they were going to get a pin on Rusev. They just happened, And so to have him be counted out, I feel like that was a very fitting way to be like, oh, well, he still hasn't been pinned. So, yeah. Big Show turning on Team Cena and letting Cena get eliminated was surprising in a way. I don't know if it was surprising to you, but it was surprising to me just because he's always been, he doesn't like people to be, you know, he's very patriotic. He's very like, you know, he's very smiles and, you know, loves kids and puppies and children and whatnot. And
You do know somebody posted on the internet how many times the Big Show's turned, and he's turned 32 times, which is an average of 8 months. So he doesn't always love the puppies and the kids and the audience.
I mean, him turning, yes, but usually I figured it would be over by now. I figured that there would be no turnings right now because everyone chose their sides. You know, it was like, okay, you had a choice. You could choose your side.
Well,
I
totally justify his turning. I can totally justify that. As far as my thoughts on the match, I love the Mark Henry thing, getting him out real quick, because it was pretty funny because they were all like, Triple H and Stephanie were so great, just firing them up, getting them excited, and then boom, walks right into the punch. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I find it so ridiculous that They built Ryback up for like 3 weeks, making him like the biggest star after Cena, and then they just clearly gave up on him within those 3 weeks and just dropped him out the way they did. It was funny because you know that's what happened, and it was also good because you were expecting him to be to run wild and be one of the last ones, and then boom, he's gone. So it's like, wow, it's one of those like what the fuck moments. And I thought that was great. I thought Luke Harper was incredible the whole match. I think he is so great. I think he's even underrated. I mean, for a big guy to do everything he does, he's so awesome.
I agree with him being underrated.
Yeah, for Rowan's not as good as Harper, but he's gotten better. And he's so big. I mean, he'll have a job for a while just because of how tall and big he is. But
he's massive.
Yeah, so I thought he did. I thought he did pretty good. As far as the Big Show turning, I don't blame the Big Show turning one bit, because for the 2 weeks before, especially the Raw before, where the fuck was John Cena when Sheamus got taken out of the match and Big Show got killed?
I remember we had this discussion. Yeah, where the fuck was John Cena? That was
And where the fuck was John Cena when Dolph Ziggler got jumped by three guys before his match and then ended up losing the title because of it? Where was the hero John Cena? He didn't seem to give a fuck. So I can see where the Big Show's like, you know, fuck, we're about to lose. This asshole didn't help me. Fuck him. Especially considering he can turn so easily because he's turned 32 times. It's not hard to imagine that something like that would make him turn. I thought Ziggler did great. I'm not the biggest Ziggler fan. He is a good worker. He gets a little too fast sometimes, but if he's in there with someone that can slow him down, he can have really good matches. Unfortunately for him, they don't think he can cut a promo, so basically once Bryan, once Reigns gets back, Ziggler goes back to his old spot. Being in decent little matches, but just being Dolph Ziggler and being stuck in purgatory.
With
the Big Show knocking out Cena and then leaving Cena, I thought that was like one of the best swerves they've done in a long time, because who can see John Cena not making it to the end, let alone being beat like that? I mean, that was totally out of nowhere, and I was sitting, you know, I had my phone on one of the slides next to me, and I'm grabbing boxes here, watching it, and when that happened, I was like, oh, I basically yelled out, oh, shit. And I thought that was actually a great move of them doing that. Seth was incredible the whole match. He's such a great worker. I think him and Harper were actually the stars of the match. They booked Rusev perfectly, you know, him eliminating himself basically, not getting pinned, you know, so he hasn't lost that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was the easiest way for them. They were not going to be like, oh, now he finally gets pinned, like, you know, being counted out. is the only way they were going to put Rusev out of this match.
Yeah, you can tell they put a lot more thought into this match, the booking of it, than they did of the other one. This is really the only one they really cared about. And it kind of shows because it was booked so perfectly, but then everything else was just, you know, good, but just so-so, nothing groundbreaking. But I enjoyed it overall, as far as the match itself and the whole show. And
yeah.
Let's see where it goes. I mean, like I say, I'm excited for Bray and Wyatt. I can't say I'm really excited for Mark Henry and Ryback in it, or whoever they put with him on the next match. The pay-per-view hasn't caught me yet. Maybe they'll make some decent matches out of it, but I don't know. It might just be a placeholder, a pay-per-view until the Rumble, and hopefully, like every past year, the Rumble kicks off the start of good shit happening, which it, like it usually does. I mean, as pissed off as everyone was at the end of the Rumble, that pretty much started WrestleMania season, and WrestleMania was awesome. So, you know, hopefully right now, hopefully right now it's just that little downtime before they usually do before WrestleMania. And
yeah,
hopefully
I
we'll
think
have
this
some
is
good
a lull.
To look forward
yeah,
to
this is definitely a lull. I loved it overall. You know, like I said, there were some points that I was disappointed. I understand time constraints. I understand, you know, storytelling. So I get that. I guess I want instant gratification when I should just sit and wait because I know it's going to happen eventually. I know there is going to be a head-to-head with certain people fighting eventually.
See, you would have hated Mid-South Wrestling's TV because they never gave you a finish to a main event.
They always ended every show on a cliffhanger.
And
I'm not just a brute that just wants to see people get bashed open. I can deal with storytelling, sir.
Well, like you say, you want instant gratification.
I do like instant gratification.
Well, I'm just saying, you said you like instant gratification, but this house TV, it never gave you any gratification because it never gave you anything. And it was always like, come back next week, and then you'd come back next week to see what happened, but then they would never show you what happened. They just started like the new thing. Yeah, so I don't think you would have liked that one.
Well, it's okay. I'm really, since this is basically the start of, you know, what is this? We're basically the halfway point of pay-per-views. You know, I don't know if this is the halfway point. I haven't counted how many pay-per-views we've had so far, but we're close to the halfway point, if not at the halfway point, to WrestleMania. And I feel since they've done this dramatic shift at the end of this